I guess it was. But God's been good. God has been good to me. And like he said, Mrs. Morris, I tell you, how I don't know where I'd be without that lady. But thank the Lord for being able to preach. Why don't you turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. Book of Romans chapter 1, one of my favorite books in all the Bible. Most every preacher I know really enjoys reading in the book of Romans. And what I want to talk to you tonight about is the church, specifically a particular church. But the title of the message is Beloved of God, Called Saints. That's what you are. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're called saints. You belong to God. And I thank the Lord for that. It's an amazing thing that here in this city of Rome, there's all these people. And you know, the Apostle Paul, he's going everywhere. I mean, as much as he could after he got saved. He's going everywhere, planting churches, trying to get folks saved. But he's never made it to Rome. Now, he's never been there yet. He wants to be there, but he's never been there yet. And he will get there eventually. Not exactly the way he wants to. He'll go there pretty much in chains as a prisoner. But he will get there, and he will preach, and people will be saved. And he's just writing about this great church that's been planted there in Rome. And so I want to read just a few verses here in chapter 1, verse 8, beginning of verse 8. The Bible says, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Think about that. Isn't that a great testimony? I mean, when the Apostle Paul says this about this church, he's never been there. He's heard about it. People have told him about it. He's gotten letters and things about it. But he says this, making mention of you always in my prayers. I know as a pastor wants to know people are praying for you. It's a blessing to know that people care and that people pray. And Paul was telling these folks he was praying for them. He says in verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help me, Lord, tonight to preach your Word, and help us, Lord, to glean things from this passage. It will help us to understand about this church in Rome back in those days and about this church in which we live now, where we serve, and the wonderful people that are here. Father, help us to be a church that does everything we can by the grace of God to be obedient to the will of God and seeing people saved like we've seen here lately, Lord. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for the brother that had the meeting up in the Massachusetts area and the souls that were saved there. Lord, continue to help the gospel to go out and people to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Rome was the destination of the people of the world in that day. Everybody wanted to get to Rome. Kind of like I remember when I was a kid, young people, it seemed like everybody wanted to go to New York. Well, I've been to New York. I lived just outside of New York for a year and a half. They can have New York, okay? I like the Yankees, but we'll skip that for now. But New York is a destination everybody wanted. Rome was the destination everybody wanted. And it was a melting pot of people from all over the world. They came there. And there were diverse cultures, diverse religions. And from all of that, there were people who'd been saved by the grace of God, and they were going out and they were witnessing. Now, to do that in Rome was a dangerous thing. Last time I looked, I haven't heard of anybody in my church in Arizona when I was there or you here that's been arrested for giving somebody a gospel tract or talking to them about the Lord. But in Rome, you could be put in the arena or you could be put to death for some of the things that these people were doing. And so Paul had a great burden for these people and understanding about these people. And he wanted them to know that the grace of God does much more abound there in what they were doing. So we want to just look at a couple of things and see what he says. In verse 8, he delights in their faith. In their faith. He says, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, for your faith." Your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Now, we don't do that so that people all over the world will hear who we are. Calvary is a great church. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. We're here. We love it. But people necessarily won't hear about it except for the fact that it's a mission-minded church. It's a soul-winning church. It's a church where the Word of God gets out. And that's because of the people that make up this church and the leadership of this church. And Paul was talking to this church and these people about these things. And here was a church that was famous for its faith. Now think about that. It's famous for its faith, but again, Paul's never been there yet. Most of the churches we learn about in the book of Acts, Paul was here, then he was here, then he was there, then he was there. And Paul was on all these places. But now this church, Paul's not been there. So what that means is that there's somebody that's been there that loved the Lord, got saved by the grace of God, and was doing what every one of us ought to be doing who don't have a big name. Paul had a big name. All of us who don't have a big name, we're just Christians. And I like the title. He said, they're beloved of God, called saints. That's you. You know that? That's you. You belong to God. You're loved by God. You're a child of God. And you are a saint. Now, that word has a strange connotation in our culture, but that's what it says. And so, tonight as we think about these things, think about how God has been so good to us and how He's blessed us. First of all, the church was famous for its faith, okay? It was spoken of throughout the world, not just Rome, but the entire empire. And the evidence of that faith could be seen by their testimony. By their testimony. How do people know that we're a Christian? How do people know that we love the Lord? Do we put a big sign on our house? Gaither understands that. Do we put a big sign on our house? That's kind of an inside joke when he used to live in our neighborhood. But the thing is, we don't go out there necessarily telling people who we are. We go out there showing people who we are by the way that we live and the things that we do, because we're trying to get the Word of God out to the world too. And the church was doing that. This church was busy about the things of God. Are we busy? Are we busy? I think so. They were famous for their faith, not just in Rome, but everywhere. What a testimony. All of Rome was talking about this peculiar people, this peculiar group, and yet at the same time, there were others at Rome that wanted to be done with them. And God kept blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. And Paul was hearing about these things and seeing these things. One of the things that they were famous for was their outreach. The idea of getting the gospel out, using different things. They didn't have a bus ministry. They didn't have necessarily what we call soul winning, but that's really what it was. All these things that they did, all these things were a part of what they were doing. Again, without Paul ever having been there. Because somebody went there with the gospel. And they began to tell them about Jesus Christ. And one got saved, and another got saved, and another got saved. And it began to grow. And they continued to see God coming to Jesus Christ, these people coming to God, because of what they were doing. We need more of that. I think we have that here, but we need that. By their outreach, the things that they're doing, the church in Rome, then there's the individual members. When you speak of the church having faith, something about the individuals in a church. You know, some people come to church just so they can say they came to church. And some people come to church just on Sunday morning to come to church. But people who are saved by the grace of God come to church because they want to hear the Word of God. Because they want to fellowship with the saints. They want to have an opportunity to maybe have a part in something and see something. You know, when you come to church and pastor's preaching and God's blessing, and somebody comes forward and they get one of the guys takes them off to the side and they get saved. We should all rejoice and thank God. Listen, somebody got saved. Somebody not going to hell now because the Word of God was preached. And the man of God and the people of God were telling others about Jesus Christ. That was the church at Rome. That was the church that we want to be. The individual members were out doing things for God. And then there's another part of this thing, though, that with any church, Paul warns them of departing from the faith. This kind of faith is hard to come by and harder still sometimes to keep. One generation establishes it and passes it on. I dare say there's probably people in here that were brought up like I was. When I was a little boy, 3 years old, went to church. My grandmother went, my dad and mom went, all of us went. But that doesn't make me a Christian. As a matter of fact, I wasn't a Christian until I was 25 years old. But you see, you and I here, we have this thing where we come to church, and what we do is we try to get our family saved. We try to get our friends saved. That's what was going on there. This church was really the basic thing that every church ought to be. And again, there are no famous names or famous people. These people were departing the truth, giving out the truth to the people of God. And what they were doing, they began to leave the things of God. They began to turn from the gospel. Now, I wonder about that. I thought about that, and I'm thinking how they turned from the gospel in that day, and none of them had a King James Bible. Actually, none of them probably had a Bible at all. Because the man that was responsible for most of the letters that are written in the New Testament Bible is the guy who's never been there. Paul's never been there. So what were they getting? They were getting what somebody else had been taught, perhaps when they had been with Paul, perhaps Timothy, perhaps someone else. They got the Word of God. And a lot of what they did would have been based on the things that they found in the Old Testament Scriptures. You know, one of the best places that you can ever get to read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is in Isaiah chapter 53. It has nothing to do with the New Testament, but it's all about Christ on the cross. See, they had that book. They had those things. And with those things, they began to believe and trust in God. And we need to do that. We don't have an excuse. We have a great opportunity. Departing from the gospel is what they were doing. Departing from reaching souls is what they were doing. In the book of Revelation, there's the seven churches. And God talks about these seven churches at Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and so forth. And only two of them got a good record, so to speak. And the others were kind of going downhill. And you know, the sad thing is, that's going on in our culture, in our world today. As having been a pastor, I have seen churches that started out preaching the truth, living the truth, doing the truth, and then all of a sudden they began to make some changes. One of the first things that they'll change is the music. Brother Delp does a great job. Amen. And the people that sing here too. Amen. The choir's fantastic. But that's a part of the church. But when they begin to change the music, that begins to change some things. And then not only do they begin to change the music, but then they begin to change some of the doctrine, some of the things that are being told to them. And what happened to the church at Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and all those churches is they began to go down. That can happen to any church, which by the grace of God we'd hope would never happen to this church. But as I was thinking about this message and writing some things, I began to think about my Bible college days and some of the men that I got to meet that were great men of God, and the churches that they pastored. And I'm not going to name names, but their church now is gone. These were churches everybody talked about. Big time churches in Virginia, in Florida, in Texas. People that were famous for being godly, great preachers. And now those churches are gone. By the way, that will happen to this church too. The church at Rome will be replaced by the Roman church. And the doctrine will be changed and people will be changed. But praise God, there's always a seed somewhere. And even though that happens, there will still be people at Rome for decades, really. Because if you read your history book, you'll find out that many years later than this book was written, they were burning them at the stake and putting them in the arena. Why? Because they would not deny Jesus Christ. That's the kind of faith that they had. And that's the kind of faith that a church has to have, that will do what God wants us to do and be right and do right and give God the glory. And so Paul sees that these people are leaving. And so he tries to exhort them. He pray for our dedicated churches. Pray for them that God help them. I want to get there. That's what he kept saying. He wants to be there. He desires their fellowship. Verse 10, 11, and 12, he talks about that. He says, at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. I long to see you. I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. All of those things is a part of his whole life is all about that. And that ought to be part of our whole life too. I'm not saying that we should be Apostle Paul. What I'm saying is we should be Christians who have a desire to get the Word of God out to other people who need it. Amen. And I know I've lived in this state. I've lived in it a couple of years now. I lived here 8 years back in the early 80s, 1980s. And I know that this is the Bible Belt. I know there's Bible churches all over the place. But there's a lot of churches that were great churches then that aren't even fundamental Baptists or anything anymore. And so it needs to be that we see that you can't take the grace of God and the blessings of God for granted. But what we've got to do is keep on serving God and supporting the pastor and supporting the church and supporting other churches. Now, I don't want to get into going to other churches, but just support other churches. Just because if they believe the way we believe and do the things that we believe, then we need to do all we can to love them and pray for them and trust God that they'll get souls saved too. Because that's what it's all about. Folks, we're living in a day and times where it seems like it just keeps getting worse and worse every day. Everything seems like that the stuff that you read about. I remember back when my wife and I were lost, talking about the last days. And we weren't even saved. We'd go listen to this prophecy preacher. And all the things they said, it's like, oh, wow, that's... But what about the world today? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man? I mean, what is America like today? Is it a great religious church? Or is it something else? And although we may not be able to change where America's going, what we can do is reach out and see some people saved along the way. Amen. Do all that we can to get other people to come to Jesus Christ. A stable church will draw people. A church with a dynamic faith calls Paul to want to share in their fellowship. That's what the church at Rome was all about. He desired to go there, to preach there. Just a few pages over in the book of Romans in chapter number 15, the Apostle Paul, he makes a statement in verse number 22. He says, "For which cause also," this is the same book, he's still not been there, he's finishing it, "I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." That was his desire. His heart's desire was to get there and help that church. Our heart's desire should be to be in church and help the church. Be in the church and love the church. Be in the church and be a part of what's going on in the church. Always to the glory of God. Amen. Paul had something hinder his path, didn't he? The next verse that I did not read, he says, "But now I go to Jerusalem." And knowing our Bible, you know that when he got to Jerusalem, one of the first things that happened was he went into the temple, they saw him, they took him under, began to beat him, tried to kill him, the soldiers came in and got him, and all of his plans were changed. And yet, Paul, faithful servant of God that he was, went through all that, went to the prison, did all those court trials and all those things, but he did one day say, "I appeal unto Caesar, and unto Caesar thou hast appealed, to Caesar thou shalt go." And guess what? He got to Rome. That's what he wanted. He got to Rome. He got to go there. Now, he was in prison, but those people got to come and visit with him, and he began to share with them, and the desire of his heart, living for God, the desire of his heart, is to see people saved and to add something to the church. It should be our heart's desire to add something to the church, to do something to help the church, to be a blessing in the church. Paul says about all these things, the devil, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says the devil had hindered him. He thought, you know, he wanted to go. He kept getting caught up in things. And he says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered me." Now that's the church at Thessalonica. He keeps having the devil, keeps trying to stop him. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's going to try to stop us too. He's going to try to keep us from doing the things God wants us to do. But we can't let that happen. We can't let him stop us. And I know I'm preaching, I say this from the way I would have said it if I was still pastoring. The people that are here tonight are the people that are faithful. There's people here, not in this building right now, but people in here right now, compared to the people that are here on Sunday morning, is very small group. But it's because, for most people, it's because we want to be here. For some people, they can't. But the truth is, we're dedicated to the things of God. Paul was dedicated to the things of God. The church at Rome was dedicated to to the things of God. And so Paul warns them about departing from the faith. A stable church will draw people. A church with a dynamic faith can cause people to want to share in their fellowship. And God, by the grace of God, has given us that. So we see that. Then another thing about this, Paul's desire for this fellowship is a stable faith provides uplifting fellowship. A faith that is stable, but a faith that is uplifting. When you come to church, it should be that we're being lifted up spiritually, helped spiritually by things that go on in our life. It should be that we listen to the message that the pastor or whoever is preaching has for us. And as we listen to it, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us and teaches us things. And from that, you know, we may be saved, but it may be that we still need to come to the altar and talk to the Lord and ask God to help us with some things that we're going through. Because everybody, man and woman, we all have a life that has troubles and heartaches. And the devil knows that, so he wants to keep us down. And God wants us to be faithful. And the thing that we do is get in the house of God. Get encouraged. Listen to the pastor. Listen to the Sunday school teacher. Listen to the things that are going to help you and help me be what God wants us to be. And Paul understood that. He wanted them to be a stable people. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 17, Aaron and Hur, they held up Moses' hands. Now, that sounds kind of strange to us, you know, if you read that story, you know, he's standing there. He ends up sitting down. He ends up sitting down, and they're on each side of him holding his arms up. And as long as his arms are up, the Israelites are winning. Puts his arm down, they begin to lose. Put his arm up, they begin to win. So they kept trying to keep his arms up the whole time because of the way God was working in that time with them. He said, what has that got to do with this? When you and I are up spiritually, God's blessing. When we get down, all of a sudden, it's not pastor's fault, it's us. What are we doing? What's wrong? Let's do what we can to stay faithful to God and trust God to keep us excited about the things of God, excited about church, excited about the fellowship of the saints, excited about the little kids that get saved and the senior saints sometimes even that come to know Christ as their Savior. And you think, wow, that guy was 60 years old and he just now got saved. It doesn't matter how old you are. It just matters that you get saved. And so here we see that Paul is doing everything he can to try to help these people, to stabilize these people. Fellowship with the saints, what a blessing. Stable, uplifting fellowship, encouraging one another. And then Paul desires to be fruitful among them. Fruitful in the sense of producing spiritual fruit, giving some spiritual gift. Back in the text, in verse number 11, he said that to them. I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Some spiritual gift. Wonder what that was. What was it that he was trying to do there? I mean, you know, when we were kids, we all loved Christmas, you know, because we're going to get a gift. We loved birthdays when we were little, we were going to get a gift. That's not what this is. This is a spiritual gift, a holy gift. Something from God Almighty. And God would do that as He... Listen, I can tell you right now. This right here is one of the gifts He gave this church. You know what it's called? It's called the Book of Romans. The Book of Romans. He gave them this. He sent this to them. That was a great spiritual gift that helped them. He desires to give them something that's spiritual. Something that will last. He's not coming to be their magistrate. He's not coming to be their overseer. He's not coming to kick out the pastor. He's coming there to serve. And that's what God's looking for, people that will serve. Paul was fruitful. He was giving spiritual gifts. And then he was, by teaching and preaching, sharing the Word of God. The Lord, one writer said this, I think it was, I can't remember his name now. The Lord had given Paul great insight into the biblical message as it is witnessed by this epistle. Okay? It's something to teach and preach to the saints of God. And God gave that. Paul was so powerful in his ministry. When we think about the New Testament church, obviously the things of the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all. But when you start talking about the leaders, there's a couple of names, probably three names that stand out the most. There's Peter, there's Paul, and there's John. And those guys seem to be the ones we think of the most. And yet, at the same time, there were the unknown guys, the other disciples even, the part of the 12. You know, they all left and they went out and started churches too. Did you know that? But they're not written about in the Bible. You can find history books that talks about the works that they did in some of the places that they went. But there's not much of that that we see and read. But here's the thing. Those men, those other men of the 12 after Judas was killed, but those 12, every one of those men basically ends up in torture at some point in time in their life. For what? For preaching the Word of God. For being a part of the ministry of God. Doing what God wants them to do. Now, I don't have a good pain tolerance, I guess. I would hate to think that something like that might happen. But by the same token, I would hope that we would think that if it ever did come to that, that we'd have enough of the Holy Spirit of God upon our life, that if that's what God wants, then that's what we'll take. Some of you have been to the mission field and seen things that go on in the mission field. And sometimes the people that are in those churches, they suffer for serving Jesus Christ. Because in their country, that's not the right religion. In their country, that's not wanted. In our country, it is. And so it's up to us to make sure that we teach and we preach the things of God so that we can do like the church at Rome did. And then the most important part of all is by reaching souls. And of course, now I'm talking about people getting saved. Paul desired that many souls would be saved from among those living in Rome. That's what he wanted. He wanted to get there and be able to witness. Even though I don't know all the story of his first journey there and his second journey there. We know he was eventually killed there. But they had to come to him. He was still a prisoner. He had access to some things, but he still was a prisoner. And they came to him. And he imparted to them the things that God had given him. In verse number 13, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was lit or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Do we have any fruit to give? Do we have anything that we could give that will help somebody else? Surely we do. When we're saved by the grace of God, you could talk about what great things the Lord hath done for me. What great things the Lord hath done for you. And people that aren't saved, as you witness to them, you know, and they'll do this sometimes. They'll try to ridicule you and try to change the subject and everything else. But they'll say, well, what did you ever get out of that? And then you can start telling them all the wonderful blessings of God and what He's done for us. And we do that when we try to reach souls. Paul was out there constantly trying to win souls. I purpose to come to you that I might have some fruit among you also. Why the also? Well, because of all the other churches. Because of all the other places where he'd been. Because of all the other people that had been saved by the grace of God. That's what we are. And that's what we need to be. And by the grace of God, if Jesus doesn't come back in 100 years, whoever's here, hopefully we'll be in a church where they're preaching the Word of God and doing just like Pastor Roy Hill and giving people the truth and that God get the glory. Amen. That's what we've got to be about. Strength and comfort are usually found in good Christian fellowship. The best way to get encouraged when you're down, to me, the best way to get encouraged when you're down during the work week, go to church. Go to church. Yes, sir. Wednesday night, it's been a rough week and I got 2 more days to go. Go to church. And you go to church, you might not hear a good message from me. You will from Pastor. But it might be that when you get here, somebody will come up to you and say, hey, brother, I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. Just something like that. And you know what that does? That picks your heart up. That picks your spirit up. You think, well, I appreciate that. I've had Brother Delp send me things, text, prayed for you today. Prayed for you and Mrs. Morse today. You don't know what that means to me. I mean, I haven't been here long. I don't know many people. And that's okay. I'm planning on staying here by the grace of God. But the thing is, there are brothers and sisters in Christ that are all working together to encourage one another in the faith that we might be faithful. That's all that Paul's trying to get across to them. Exhortation. We should desire to be fruitful in our church by faithfulness. Prayer and praying. Staying true to the gospel. Telling others about Christ. Winning souls. Encouraging other believers. Using your spiritual gifts. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Are you using your spiritual gift? Paul was thankful for the faith of the church at Rome. He prayed for the opportunity to enjoy that sweet fellowship with the saints. I mean, it's one of those, you know, this is true, should be true in our life, that when we get together, now I know that some of us preachers, I'm going to talk about Arizona preachers here now for a minute. When we get together, there's this guy that he likes to cut up and joke, and this guy, but the thing of it is, everybody gets all together, and then they have a time of prayer together. And then one or two will preach the Word of God. And everybody will get excited about what God's teaching them from these other preachers. And you know what that does for us? That gets us fired up. Go back to our church and do what we can to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim the Word of God, to see people saved, and our families touched by the Word of God. That's all a part of what this is. We're trying to do what we can in this day and time to reach people because the days are short. I know I've heard that since I was a little boy, but the days are short. And one of these days, the trump's going to sound, and we'll all say, I'm glad, I'm looking forward to it, I want it. And I do too. But I've got some family, my wife and I got some family that we're burdened for. And I believe God's working. There's some things that we've seen happen, you know, in their life. And I think God's working. But we can't take that for granted, and so we just keep praying and keep witnessing and hoping that one of these days, that's the greatest thing you can ever hear. I'll tell you this, and I'm done. I had a brother-in-law. He lived in Michigan. I was living in Arizona. He was married to one of my sisters, obviously. And he called me. I picked up the phone. He told me his name. I can tell it because he's with the Lord now. He said, Steve, this is Gordon. I'm like, hey, Gordon, how you doing? He said, Steve, I'm doing great. I got saved today. Now that is a phone call that you want to get. That's conversation you want to have. That's the thing that Paul is trying to get across to us, though he never had a phone, is that we all need to see that we need to be excited about the things of God and doing what we can to help others know the same Lord that we know and have the same confidence that one of these days the Lord's going to call us home and forevermore we shall spend eternity with Him. And right now, we have the privilege and the opportunity and the blessing to do what we can to invite people to church, to talk to people about their soul, to get them the gospel so that they might get saved. God is doing that. Paul, as he talked about these people, he prayed for the chance to minister to them. He really wanted to. Do we? Do we really want to? Do we really want to witness? Do we really want to see him saved? If we do, we really need to be busy about the things of God. Paul, his whole life was dedicated to getting somewhere and preaching to somebody and seeing people get saved. And we come here with the hope that somebody will preach, somebody will teach, and somebody will get saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the Word of God, and I pray that you'd use it to challenge me and us about where we are, Father. There is much that still must be done. There are millions of people that don't know Jesus Christ.